Don't worry, you're in the right place. Resilient Faith Online is now Amplify Your Authority. I'm Marissa Shadrick, and I'll continue to bring you a wonderful blend of powerful marketing strategies with a touch of personal growth insights for business success. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this week's episode. Welcome. I'm Marissa Shadrick, host of the Resilient Faith Online Show. I'm an online marketing coach and certified copywriter. And in this podcast, you'll find a different perspective on the external and internal challenges we face as online entrepreneurs. Join me for some inspiration and practical tips as we create positive change in the world. To continue the conversation, join me in my private Resilient Creator community. Go to marissashedrick.com/community. Hello, everyone. Marissa here, and I am back with a guest. This person I consider a friend, and guess what? We met on LinkedIn. We've been chatting on LinkedIn on the back end, and one thing led to another, and then we bumped into each other, and then recently I found out about something that he was doing, and so I messaged him, and here we are. I want to bring to you Dan Cumberland, and I'm going to let him introduce himself, and he's got some exciting news for us today. Hi, Dan.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. It's just such a thrill to be with you here today. Just really love that we've gotten to connect. It's just so fun when social media like makes real connections like this.
Yes,
so
absolutely.
Thanks so much for having me on the show. I mean, just to begin to introduce myself, I am a serial entrepreneur. I'm a 3-time SaaS, software as a service founder. Right now, my time is split between a couple different projects. The first, the one that we want to get to, which is VideoSnap. It is a content repurposing tool for taking long form speech based content and making short form video that's viral ready. So getting your content into the algorithms for TikTok, Instagram Reels, YouTube Shorts, those kinds of places where you can find a new audience and grow your audience. So that's one piece. I also have a podcast and business called The Meaning Movement, where I help entrepreneurs realign their business and their life, really focused on giving entrepreneurs the insights that we need to recalibrate our work-life balance, to find the energy and motivation that we need to keep going. A lot of entrepreneurs, we start to start our journey to make more money, to have more freedom, to have less stress, and then end up with none of those things, in a bit of a prison of our own making, giving our time to a life we don't love in order to gain a future that may never come. And so I'm really passionate about helping entrepreneurs enjoy the journey. And I have an accelerator program that I'm launching in January, just right around that, called Bootstrap Without Burnout. So that's another piece. And then kind of connected to both of those has opened some doors with the team that I launched VideoSnap with. It's a development team called 923.co. Recently just joined their team as a product strategist. So helping people like myself build cool things like we built together. So if anyone listening is interested in software and building software, I would love to talk to them about building stuff. That, so that's how so I, cool. Yeah, that's my work life. Outside of work, I have 3 kids and I live in Seattle, and I like to run and be fit and hang out with my family.
How cool is that? I love it. I visited Seattle a while back. My daughter and I would go on these mom and daughter trips, and Seattle was one of them. It's beautiful. Beautiful.
Yes. Yeah. So beautiful. It's just right now, at the time of this recording, the salmon are spawning, which I had this, like, it was a magical, I would almost call it an out of body experience. Went to a park about a mile from my house, and there's some streams there. And there were these massive fish flopping their way up these little tiny streams. And it was just an incredible experience. And I've lived here for like 12 years, and I've never actually seen it right there, and I feel like there's a metaphor or in here somewhere about like how there's something right outside of our awareness that is so powerful that you just need the eyes to see it. And so it is a beautiful place to live.
That's awesome. So I'm curious to see what goes on in the mind of a serial entrepreneur. What got you started in that? Were you the type of kid
that love doing different projects and like inventing things and stuff? I mean, what led you to this? I'm just curious.
I love that. That's such a great question. I love that you go all the way back to childhood. I think of myself as in my younger years as creative, especially going into junior high, high school, was really interested in music. I mean, had lots of ambitions around doing a lot of different things. I remember once when I was in junior high, someone asked me what I wanted to do. And I told them I wanted to recreate dinosaurs like Jurassic Park and also like be an astronaut and like do a bunch of other things. It's like, so I've always had this like desire to have a lot of things going on. And that translated into, you know, into high school and college. Like I always had just things that I was trying.
There wasn't one.
There's always a list. Yeah. But I started my career in, so went to college for ministry, went to Bible school, did a degree in ministry and music, and was a youth pastor for 5 years. And that was a really complex and challenging time of life. But out of that, I really found this, that I have a lot of energy around questions of meaning and purpose. And really, I really believe like helping people, live the human experience in the way that I think we're intended to. I believe we're intended to. And so went on after was in that role for 5 years, went to grad school to study around those ideas, did an interdisciplinary degree that was part psychology, part theology, part culture. And really in that program is when I gained the permission to say like, I just like to have a lot of things going on and that's okay. And maybe that's actually for myself, even, you know, as I'm studying these ideas around vocation and meaning and purpose, like maybe that actually is some of my work in the world. It's just to let myself like make stuff. So coming out of that program, I'd started the meaning movement. I at that time was also a photographer. And so that was a bit of what I was doing. And that's just led me down a path of different doors have opened, different experiences. And a lot of it honestly has come through people. I find that all the good things in life, all the good things in my life come through relationships and come through partnerships. And so it's kind of a reoccurring theme. So that's the short-ish answer to that question of what got me here.
Yeah. And I can see that because we were able to connect on LinkedIn and people say, well, you can't really connect on social media and everything else.
Yes.
But there was something in your content that kind of resonated with me. And I thought this person is aligned with my values and stuff. It's almost like I could say, are you a Christian? I know you're a Christian. Uh-huh, are you? Uh-huh.
It's true. And I am. Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
You've got the eyes to see it. I don't talk about it a lot, but it's the framework that I use to see the world.
Within the text. You could just tell by the words people are saying and their passion and everything else. And so I'm glad we had a chance to connect. So it's meaning movement. Is that what it's called?
The meaning movement. Yeah.
Meaning movement. That sounds fascinating because it's true. Yes. We need to enjoy life today. Maybe it's we've got goals for tomorrow, but enjoy everything today because today is what we really have, right?
Yes.
We don't have tomorrow yet. And, and I came to a realization that if we worry too much about regrets, we're looking in the past too much. And we need to look to today. So tell me more. What inspired the meaning movement?
Yeah, it really came out of that experience in grad school and wanting to, a lot of the people who were in my program was looking at how they were, you know, a lot of people with passion for helping, you know, helping professions, a lot of them going on to do social work, a lot of them going on to become therapists and do private practice. And all of it is, you know, just really good and really important, like caring, you know, caring work that the world needs. But so much of it was one-to-one. And I wanted to find a way, how can I help more people than just in a one-to-one basis? And so that's really part of what started me down this path towards the meaning movement. I like knew I had this energy around, you know, the human experience and helping and inviting people to find meaning in their lives and in the things they do and realign how we're the places we're putting effort in order to get more enjoyment and more satisfaction, build more meaningful lives out of it. So I knew that I had that energy, but I didn't know what to do with it. So I thought, okay, I could do this as a, you know, as a therapist. I could do this maybe as a career counselor or something like this. But decided ultimately, like, I think because of this realization that I think I'm an entrepreneur at heart. And so I just need to make it up as I go. And that's what started the meaning movement.
Yeah. Is it a type of like, helping people go through a journey of self-discovery, maybe go a little deeper?
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Many coaches, consultants, service providers, and even course creators understand the power of having an email list. It is your greatest asset. However, lead magnets have not been converting like they used to. The market has changed. Hi, I'm Marissa Shadrick, online marketing consultant, certified brand and certified copywriter. I've got a brand new membership program, and it's called Amplify Your Message. This private membership is exclusively to help you with your lead acquisition, your lead magnets. It's so affordable. Anyone can be a part of this. Only $29 a month, and I show up for coaching calls. We brainstorm ideas. I give copy critiques. I help you improve your lead acquisition process. You can get all the information at marissashadrick.com/community. I'll see you there. Take care.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that's where, when I first started the meaning movement, it was very focused on like career and career decisions. Right. In recent years. I mean, really even in this year, have refocused that more directly towards entrepreneurs, because I just saw this need where there's this gap between the lives that we want to be living and the realities of running our business. And I've seen too many entrepreneurs burn out along the way. And even myself earlier this year, a big part of this journey for me was going into 2022 at the beginning of the year. I lost my grandmother all within a couple months. I lost my grandmother. My accountant had cancer and passed away. A business partner on good terms, but she decided to step away from one of the ventures. And she was a core business partner. And all of this, you know, and at the same time, one of my ventures was really doing really poorly. And so I had to like reevaluate everything just felt like it was kind of falling apart around me, and left me in the space where it just was a bit of a wake up call. Like, okay, if all of this that I've been working on just crumbled right now, what would I have left? And kind of maybe reevaluate that. Like, I think for the last couple of years, I love everything that I'm doing, but I feel like I've been so focused on that destination to get that I was moving towards, that I'd lost sight of like the day to day of what I'm doing right now and what I have like in this present moment. Yeah. And it made me ask the question, like, is this really the life that I want to be living? And are these the most important things for me to be building right now? I have three kids.
So good.
Every minute that I'm spending working is time away from them. And we only get one shot at this, you know, at their childhood, at our lives. And so, for me, it's really a product of my own process of like, I had to kind of take a dose of my own meaning movement medicine and come back to the drawing board and say, okay, I think I need to rebuild here. So then went through a process of setting goals, of doing a bit of a gap analysis of one of the most powerful questions I think you can ask yourself is, if you had to live the last 90 days on repeat, how happy would you be? And, I want to always be able to say that, like, sure, you know, not life cannot be all just, you know, sunshine and roses and rainbows. But I want to be able to say, I would be having fun. I would be enjoying and building a meaningful life if all I had was the last 90 days over and over and over. And I think a lot of people, at least, you know, my own life, we're so focused on the future, so focused on getting to that next thing, over the next mountain, that we forget that life is what's happening right now along the way.
Yeah. Do you think that this is, some people are more susceptible to this than others? Because I have worked in the past in ministry for like 30 years. There's a lot of people in ministry leadership that are visionaries. And I work for nonprofit organizations too. And whenever I knew they were a visionary, I thought, oh boy, I put my seatbelt on because they're constantly with new ideas and we haven't even finished one thing and they're on to the next thing.
And oh my goodness.
It's like I used to have to like talk them down a little bit and say, okay, what about this first project before we get on to that? Do you think it's more a certain type of person, or is this something you see across the board, regardless of their personality, regardless of gender, is just something across the board?
Yes. I think that it is, that's a really great question. I do think that visionaries, and I think I would put myself in that category. We have our own set of unique struggles, of, you know, perfectionism, of disappointment, that, you know, when that the vision isn't everything, when it comes to fruition, it's not everything that you hope and imagine, all of those things. But I do think across the board, just business is hard. And I think that's really where this comes from, is that the business is hard. You have to make sacrifices to be successful. And often then we end up sacrificing too much in certain ways in order to find success. And on top of that, you layer on top of that all the different identities that you have to wear as a business owner, as an entrepreneur. It's like you have to reinvent yourself every 6 months to stay relevant and to keep your business moving. You sit in every seat, you know, you're a jack of all trades. So you're always having to become that next iteration of yourself. And I think that's some of the fun of it. I get like giddy about like just how much of the human experience can be encapsulated in the entrepreneurial journey. I think it's a really interesting lens to look at the human experience. But you layer on top of that, all of that identity stuff, then there's the identity of being a parent and a husband and, you know, a friend and all these different identities that we have to move through throughout our lives. And it can be really hard to navigate all of that space. And there's not a lot of people talking about that aspect of entrepreneurship.
Yes.
And that's what I'm trying to invite people to.
And thank you for being so honest and candid about your own journey. And also that it is difficult. There's too many people saying it's so easy while they're talking from a beach or something.
Yes.
They're only working 2 hours a week, you know, and they're soaking in the sunshine. And then people get this false impression that there must be something wrong with me, because there is, it can lead to a wonderful, fulfilling life.
Yes. 100%.
Without a doubt. But there are responsibilities and there are things that you have to do, and it's not easy, like you said. So thank you for being honest.
Yes.
And letting everybody know that. Cause I tell people that, you know, it's better with community. It's better when we have certain boundaries. It's better to do that, but it's not an easy path. It's not something just because we're at home and we flip on a computer, it's like instant, you know, and it's freaking easy. So thank you for being
absolutely
so candid.
Yeah, well, and I think, you know, you hear the gurus, quote unquote, talking about how easy it is, or how, you know, whatever the thing is that they've invented that solves all the problems. And the reason it sounds so easy is because they're trying to get you to buy it, right? And so if they're telling you that it's easy, then you should, that should be a warning light that goes on. And the other narrative is the opposite. And I think it's like this, the Gary Vaynerchuk narrative of like, you just got to outwork the next person. You just got to out hustle them. And the one who works the hardest wins. And, you know, I think that neither are telling the truth. Well, I mean, sure, you can out hustle the next person. But that's not the only path to success. And what I want to invite people to is that the journey itself is the goal. And yes, you want to be setting yourself up for a future that you enjoy, but you need to do it in a way that is, you know, personally and personally fulfilling. There are four areas for my research, four areas where we experience meaning in work. This applies to people who have jobs or those of us who are entrepreneurs. And I think it's a really helpful lens that I'd love to just offer listeners for thinking about how you're spending your time and how to get more of that fulfillment, that joy out of your day to day. They all start with P's, because I used to be a pastor. So they have to, it has to be, you know, alliterative.
But I love it's the alliteration.
People. Yes. It's the people. It's the process. Mm-hmm. It's the product and then it's the profit. And I'm still workshopping these words a little bit, but let me just go through them one at a time. The people are the people that you work with, alongside, for. It mm-hmm. could be your employees, could be your staff, could be your co-conspirators, collaborators, whatever it might be. But it's the people that you're engaging with on your day-to-day, week-to-week basis. And a lot of meaning can come just from that aspect of your work. So for some people working conventional jobs, and they might not love anything about their company, but they love their coworkers, that can be a really meaningful experience for them. And they could love that job because of those people. Yeah. The process is the day to day of actually doing the work. You know, as a copywriter, it's like, it's writing, right? Like, mm-hmm. hopefully you love to write if you're a copywriter, but also if you're a developer or as an entrepreneur, the creative act of making things up as you go and figuring things out, of learning all of those things. So it's the just day to day process of doing your job, doing your work. Then the product, and this is really easy. I think it'll make sense to you as someone who's, you know, worked in the nonprofit world, like the impact of the thing that you're making. You know, it can be a literal product or a software product, but it mm-hmm. also can be like an impact of what you're doing on people's lives and on the world around you, solving the problems of people. And so you could experience a lot of meaning just from being a part of an organization that's making good, doing good in the world. And mm-hmm. then finally, profit. And profit isn't just money. It is that, but it's also just, how does it benefit you? Lifestyle, other, you know, ancillary benefits of the work that you do, how the work comes back to feed you, mm-hmm. literally and figuratively. And so with those four ideas in mind, it can be a really helpful framework to think about if you want to increase your sense of meaning, increase your sense of satisfaction and fulfillment in your work. Take a look at all four of those one at a time and ask, you know, where are there gaps and where are you currently finding the most fulfillment, and where are there gaps that you could maybe rearrange how you're spending your time, refocus your energy, and find more fulfillment along the way.
Yeah, that's good. That's so good. How old are your kids? I'm curious.
Yeah, they are 7, 4, and 2.
Oh, see, they're so adorable. And then when they grow up, they come back with other kids. So we have grandkids then. So we want to still have the margin to be able to enjoy them. So it doesn't end when they grow up either.
Yes, 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 yes.
Just a heads up there.
And they grow up so fast. I just can't even believe it. I can't even believe it. Yeah, my 2-year-old's like talking in like full sentences and like feels like she's growing like a weed, and it's just crazy. I'm like, I always tell them that they have to stop growing. And so I'm going to have to stop feeding them, and then they don't.
Because you don't want to miss any part of it. I did see a few pictures on LinkedIn. So adorable. Yes. So I saw you, what was it? You were carving pumpkins with a tool or something.
Yes, with a jigsaw. I always hated carving pumpkins, and then I realized I could probably do this with the jigsaw, and my life was so much easier and so much more enjoyable. So,
it's so good. It's good. Anyway, I'm getting sidetracked here, but I wanted to know about this new tool that you released. Yes. I'm really intrigued. So I would love for you to just start talking about this through your new project. What is it?
Yes. It is called VideoSnap. You can see it at videosnap.io. So it's a content repurposing tool that will take long-form speech-based content, which can be either video or audio. So you could think of an interview like this, a TED Talk, a speech, a sermon, or just a training or a webinar. And it could be, again, the audio from it or the video with the audio on it. And then allows you to quickly repurpose that content, really surface the gold moments, the really good aha moments that happen in that content, and make short form videos out of that for social. This really is kind of a scratch your own itch problem. I have a podcast and would, you know, have these long form conversations, but then discoverability is really low on podcasts. So I wanted to figure out, how can I get my content in front of more listeners and be found by them? But the problem is, people aren't, you know, if you share a whole podcast on, you know, Facebook or LinkedIn, people aren't going to, they're not there to listen to that. They're not there to watch, you know, some long piece. They just want like a little something, but to look at and a little something to think about as they're going through, you know, between the other tasks throughout their day. So you have to package your content in the right way so that people will engage with it in the places where they're already spending time. platforms also are all moving towards short form video, with TikTok, mm-hmm. with YouTube Shorts as a recent addition to YouTube, and Facebook, you have your stories right at the top, which are all, you know, 10 to 15 second little clips. So all the platforms are moving this way. So I wanted to find a way to get my content mm-hmm. into the platform. So the way that that Video Snap works, you upload your full length piece. So it could be like a 45 minute video interview like this. And then it transcribes it for you, so you can quickly go back through it and find the moment that you want to grab and pull out.
Oh, nice.
Just highlight the text from that moment. Could be, you know, just a paragraph or something, 10, 15, 30 seconds, whatever it is. You highlight that text and hit a button, and the software will grab the corresponding piece from that source. So it'll take that, you know, 30 seconds out of that original clip, and then it breaks it into moments, puts transcription on the video, and then if it's a video, first it'll start with the source of the person talking to the camera, and then it cuts to B-roll that the software sources using AI. It finds B-roll to go behind the text to fill out the video and tell the story in an even more engaging way. So if we're talking about, I could be telling a story about going to see the salmon at the park by my house. And then, so the first clip might be me talking, but just my face on the screen. And then it would cut to a video of some fish or maybe of a park. And it was just a way to make the video more engaging than just having me talk for 30 seconds, but to have more visuals to support what I'm saying.
Wow.
And then so in the software, you can make all kinds of different changes. You can trade out the video for other video if you want something else. You can change the styles and make a bunch of different customizations. And then in just a few minutes, you go from start, you know, upload your piece to having a YouTube short or TikTok ready video in just a few minutes.
That is amazing. So, okay, let me see if I can wrap my head around this, because before I would have to take a video and I'd have to kind of watch the video and kind mm-hmm. of go across mm-hmm. with a little button to see what yep. section, then play yep. it and listen yep. to it. And yep. but this, you actually have a transcript. So I can I can highlight a section.
Correct.
Will it break up that section, or do I select the section that I want to repurpose?
Yeah. So you select the whole section that you want, and then just hit a button, and that's it.
You hit a button, and then it has stock video. Because B-roll, explain what B-roll is in case somebody doesn't know what
B-roll,
that is.
B-roll, you can think of it as a stock video. The term B-roll comes from, you can think of it like if you're watching an interview, like on, you know, 90 minutes, what's that, 60 minutes? You know, one of those news shows, right? Uh-huh. They usually would be two cameras, and there'd be one where the person mm-hmm. is facing, and then one from the side. So often that the side camera is called B-roll, or other kind of supporting imagery to tell the story of, you know, of whatever the people are talking about. So you see it all the time, people, as you're like watching the news, as someone's, a reporter is holding the mic, that's the main camera, and then anything else that they're putting in there while they're mm-hmm. they're talking, that's all that's considered B-roll. So this is stock footage, is another way to think of it. So it's not mm-hmm. footage of me, or it's not footage that you're supplying, but it comes from a library of footage that's out there and available, has the right rights so that you can use them in your
so that
your
makes
videos.
It more engaging, because that's a copy principle. You don't want to eliminate the element of surprise, because when something becomes typical, like seen that done that, it's like it's, the element of surprise is lost. So by this, even though it's a short little clip, you keep them on their toes because something's changing.
That's 100% right. Yes. Wow. And that's like that's why short form video does so well, right? People are in their feed. They're just looking for that next kind of dopamine hit, you know, that next little bit of excitement of like, oh, that's cool. That's neat.
Yeah.
So even within your clip, the more you can just keep the visuals engaging, the better it's going to do in the algorithm, the more engaging people are going to be, which all, you know, and I'm not a big fan of, you know, like, I mean, social media has some good, right? We connected on social media. I don't want people to be spending their entire lives on social media, but if people are spending time on social media, I want to find ways to capture their attention and do good in the world by helping them with my material. And so that's kind of how I think about what we're doing there is repackaging the good, the gold that we're already producing, and then putting it in a place where it can be found by more people.
Wow. And is it closed caption too? Does it have closed caption on there?
The transcription. Yeah. The transcription is right on the screen. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Got you. So it's right on the screen as well. So you can, with a push of the button, what different sizes can you create? Like any size, like whether it's.
Yeah, it supports all the sizes that this already is. Everything is pre-sized for social media. So you can choose if you want vertical, square, or horizontal, whatever your preference is, depending which platform, you know, and really, you know, what your aesthetic is and which platform you want to use.
Wonderful. This sounds like perfect, because then yes. If you wanted to further down in the text, there's another section, you could do the same thing. You can highlight and do mm-hmm. the same thing. So for one,
yes, exactly.
One podcast or one long length piece of content, you can do this 4 or 5 times in one yes. piece of content.
Yes, you can extract. Yeah, exactly. And that's exactly what my team does. We upload my podcast, and then out of that podcast, our goal is to have, you know, 3 to 5 really great shorts that we pull out. And so we'll put it in there. We'll grab one, and then we'll produce that. We'll grab another, produce that, and grab another, and produce that.
This is amazing, because not that long ago, it was done manually.
Yes, so, exactly. So
it was horrible. It was horrible.
Yeah.
Because my son loves video production. And he said years ago, this is what you need to do, before yes. shorts was a thing. But yes. it was a lot of work on the back end yes. to do that.
It is a lot of work.
So, yeah. But that makes it so much easier. So that's yeah. something that is that a subscription model then that people can get on?
It is a subscription. Yeah. Yeah. The subscription at this time, the base subscription is $20 a month, which is enough for most podcasts. My show, we release 2 episodes a week, and we're on that plan. And if you're an agency or a podcast production studio, you know, you have multiple podcasts, you're creating a lot of content, we have higher plans that mm-hmm. give you more videos, but it's all measured in the number of videos, really, it's the number of minutes of production that you make.
Right. That makes sense.
Yeah.
That is, I can't believe how the time has flown. I could keep on talking, because you're so interesting, because you have so many ideas.
Yeah. Thank you.
But
thank
in any
you.
Event, this is yeah. fantastic. So I'm curious, because I need to yes. ask this question, because I always ask guests this.
Yes.
In your journey with all these, I mean, you're a serial entrepreneur, you know, yes. You've got this new product now. In your journey, was there a season or a time in your entrepreneurial journey that, and I know you shared a little bit earlier, but something that you had to really wrestle with and get to the other side, that perhaps you could inspire other entrepreneurs as well. Something that you took away from it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there was that moment earlier, but another kind of related that came up as you're asking this was I think that the emotional journey of entrepreneurship, I think, is something that we don't talk enough about. Mm-hmm. I feel like we have these problems that they start as business problems. And I think of it as like the Maslow's hierarchy of needs, but mm-hmm. inverted. And so mm-hmm. we solve the business problem first. And then it's easy to think that that problem is done. But sometimes, just because it's personal, sometimes because of, you know, other things that happen, like it can, these issues that we face, the experiences we have, can take residence in us in ways that like take some time to process and can change the way we think about ourselves. And I early on when starting the Meaning Movement, I launched a course that was it was called the Calling Course. It was a very loaded time in my life. I mean, just some bullet points related to that. I was our oldest son, he's 7. So this was 7 years ago. He was about to be born. I got really sick and was hospitalized, was in the hospital for almost a month. And then in between the time I got out of the hospital and when my son was born, there was like a 2-week window, at which point I launched this course. I've been working on this course for months. And for me, it was like, you know, we were starting a family and we needed a bigger house and all of these things. And I was like, this course is going to solve all of these things for me. And so I built up, I think I just bought into, as we were talking about, like the gurus, story, that it was going to be so easy. That, you know, I had, you know, X number of people on my email list and all these examples of all these other people who have built these amazing courses and made, you know, tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars. And so I just thought, like, that's what would happen. And, you know, long story short, I'm sure listeners know where this is going. It didn't go that well. It mm-hmm. wasn't an abject failure. I had a few sales, but I was just so devastated at just that gap between the result I thought I would have and what actually happened. And over time, I you know, kept trying with that course, trying to reposition it. Ultimately, and just, this is just recently, within the last month, decided to shut the doors, and I'll keep supporting it, but no longer continue to sell it. And that was, for a long time, it was the main profit engine of the meeting movement. And all mm-hmm. along the way, it sold some, but never converted great. And had made this decision to sunset the calling course without really even knowing what was to come, though I'm now, you know, starting this accelerator. So some of this has come into focus, right. But I really had to wrestle with some of the personal feelings of failure, of feeling like I, every time would go through a launch, every time I would build a new sales page, a new sales sequence, I'd put all this work into it. And with that course in particular, it was just like, and then the conversions would still be not that great. It felt like I just kept getting up to bat. And then the pitcher would, what's it called when you get hit by the ball? Instead of getting a chance to swing, I'd get hit, you know?
Yeah.
And then I have to get up again and then get up again. And you do that over time and you start to develop what feels like some scar tissue that makes it harder for you to perform as well, you know?
Yeah.
And so I had to go through, and I feel like I'm still in a little bit of this, but like a process of like really letting myself like feel like the regret and the disappointment and the sadness and even like frustration of everything that didn't work with that course in order to make space for new things to emerge.
Yes.
And I think that's one example from my own life, but even like right before we got on this interview, I was talking with a friend who had a really hard, he's coming out of a really, really hard season in his business, and a very similar, he's had a very similar experience where he took care of the business problems. And again, I think it's that the inverted Maslow's hierarchy of needs. He took care of all those base level problems, right? But it trickles down into his opinion of himself and how he thinks about himself and how he shows up in relationships because of this business relationship that went south. And so I guess my invitation here to folks is that I think that there's a category for, business, I would want to call it like business trauma, business pain, business challenge, that needs to be named and attended to. And that there is it's an emotional lift to be entrepreneurs, to be, you know, and even outside of entrepreneurship, just to do your work. Yes, it is just business, but also we're humans, which means that it can't ever only be business. And so, in my own life, that's what that process has been like for me. And I hope in that people can hear an invitation to let themselves feel and process a lot of those feelings that might be coming up. And if they have those kinds of feelings about themselves as a result of how things have gone poorly or well, I don't know, with their business, like that's a normal experience that is really important to give space for.
Absolutely. They're not alone. Because a lot of people go through that, but they're not willing to talk about those things.
Yes.
But they're not alone. And it is a process. And like you said, allowing ourselves to grieve that, you know, it takes time and recognize that in retrospect, we might figure out what it was that happened.
Yes.
But like you were saying, Maslow's hierarchy of need, the market changes too. Because even you and I, what we were interested in 3 years ago may not be what we're interested in now. Because we've grown and we're ready for something else. So the market changes, which is why new leads is so important. Thank you though for being so honest. And I hope people can walk away knowing that they're not alone and it's not them. It's just part of the process of having an online business. So just to hang in there and just to hold on to hope and the reason why they got started doing what they're doing.
Yes, absolutely. Totally.
Yeah. So tell me, Dan, what do you do when, I think I know the answer, but I still want to hear it. When you're not working, when you're not like thinking of something new, what's something you love to do?
I love that question. Well, I mean, I feel like I'm always thinking, but that's also, you know, it's also fun. But I love to spend time with my family. I love to run. That's kind of my where I go to get mental space is to just get out and go for a run. And I like to ride bikes with my family, hang out with my kids. And I like to make stuff. I've been baking some bread recently, doing stuff like that.
Yeah. Carving pumpkins.
I mean, really, it's just doing whatever the kids want to do and whatever would be fun for them is really how I spend most of my time.
Fun. You sound like such a fun dad.
Oh, I hope so. I'm doing my best.
So I would love for people, especially if they want to get in touch with you.
Yes.
Just and I could put as many links as needed because I know you have multiple things that you do.
Yes, I do. I do. Yeah.
But
yeah.
How's the best way to get in contact? If somebody's listening to you and they say, I really want to get in contact.
I love it. I love it. I'll give a few options if that's okay.
Yeah.
If you're listening to a podcast, I have a podcast called The Meaning Movement that's for entrepreneurs, all about these things that I've been talking about. If you're creating content and interested in video snap, you can just go to videosnap.io. And as I think I mentioned at the top of the show, I've started doing some product strategy work with 923.co, who is the team that I built VideoSnap with. So you can find them at 923.co or just reach out to me through any of those things. My website is themeaningmovement.com. Also, it'd be great to have a link to my LinkedIn. I try to be active there, and that's how we connected. So you can always reach out to me on LinkedIn and say, hey, I heard you on Marissa's show. And that would be super fun too. So
yeah,
I try to be available wherever you can find me.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think as entrepreneurs, because we know what it's like to have that business trauma, I think that's why we tend to huddle together as friends.
We need it.
Because we understand the journey and the challenges.
Camaraderie.
Yes, absolutely. So if any of you want to connect with Dan, please do so, because he understands the journey. And obviously you can tell that he has a lot of knowledge in a lot of different areas. So I would just encourage you to connect with Dan. You probably, if you connect on LinkedIn, you'll probably see me posting comments on his post too.
Love it. You know, one more thing, I guess one more invite I should send along is that I have an assessment that I'm working on related to all of this business and lifestyle alignment called Bootstrap Without Burnout. You can find that at themeaningmovement.com/start. So if you'd like to get some feedback on how you're doing, basically how are you doing? How is your trajectory? And if you're heading towards burnout and to get a score around that, that's what I'm building there. So hopefully by the time this goes live, you'd be able to jump in that as well.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Dan. You've been so generous with all the content. I know the listeners are going to love it. And thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks so much for having me. It's been so fun. Really appreciate the work that you do. Thanks so much.
All righty. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye. If you enjoyed this podcast and you'd like to be part of the Amplify Your Authority podcast community, I would be thrilled. Not only do you get the Monday Marketing Memo, quick reads to help you start the week, but you also receive each new episode in your inbox with all the links, all the show notes, and all the content upgrades. You'll also have an opportunity to submit your copy for critique live on LinkedIn when we record the podcast, or if you'd like to be a guest, there'll also be information on how you can do that. Thanks so much. Hope to see you inside the community.